Thanks for tuning to Digital Voices Podcast, where we chat digital transformation, challenges and opportunities across healthcare and life sciences. And now, your host, Ed Marks.
Hi, it's Digital Voices with Ed Marks. So thrilled to have you join us again. And today we're going to be talking about the voice of the customer and customer engagement. And really, that's the theme. And our guest today is Greg Miller. And I just want to share a quick story, just how Greg and I really met. It was really through running has been the common medium over years and years. And we were trying to remember how many years, but we're both avid runners. And so, you know, it's like everyone's busy and trying to save time. So when do you get to talk and talk about patient engagement or whatever is of top of mind? And so for us, it was just running. And a lot of it was through our professional organization where we'd meet up every year and we'd be running. And even though we were a little bit older, we'd always win. We were always in the top. So it was kind of fun to beat up all the younger people. We still do that today. And so hopefully we can continue to do that for 10 or 15 more years. We'll see. But it's been a great way to really sort of balance life by running and incorporating work when it comes to running. So you can accomplish a lot together while you're running. And I think the last time Greg and I ran together was in Cleveland. It was a cold morning. I don't want to exaggerate, but it could have been 5 a.m., 6 a.m. at the latest. And so we met up at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and ran along the Lake Erie coastline and really got caught up in a lot of different things and talking about life and family and work. And so it's just a great way to get things done. And it reminded me, I'm not promoting my own book, but I was just like, I actually wrote a book on running. I don't know, Greg, if I ever shared that with you or not. Maybe in the second edition, you'll be in it. It's called Scenes from an Early Morning Run. It was kind of a project with one of my daughters-in-law. And it was kind of fun. Just, you know, you run a lot and take pictures and meet great people like Greg. So we're going to jump right in. So as I mentioned, I've known Greg through the years. And something unique about him is that his two young men, his two sons, are professional skiers. I've seen them ski on video. It's quite amazing. Something that would definitely push my limits, the speed at which they go. And favorite band, which is the most important thing. Greg, what's your favorite band? Welcome, and let's talk about your band.
Well, favorite band going way back is Grateful Dead. It's a classic. You can never go wrong with a good Dead tune. And so it's always, and it's inspirational too, if you really listen to the lyrics.
Yeah, no, they've withstood the test of time. Their music is definitely forever. Tell us about your passion. We always like to know a couple things about our guests. One is their musical influences, and the second is what drives you? What's your passion?
Well, I mean, from a personal perspective, skiing does. And I live in Park City, Utah, as you know, and I'm very fortunate to be able to live here and do what I do and travel and things like that. So it's also something that I share with my boys. So it's always super fun. But from a career perspective, I think early on, you know, when I started my career, I worked at Tufts New England Medical Center in Boston. And I think back to my early days in the HIT world where I didn't know anything. I was right out of college. And but the CEO of New England Medical Center had the foresight to force me to go on rounds with docs every morning and then sit in grand rounds. And it was, you know, during that first year of my career where I really became passionate about patient care. And I saw the heroic efforts that, you know, clinicians every single day, and just the amount of, you know, time and effort that they put into the caring and the giving to other, you know, to patients in need and people who are vulnerable, right? And so ever since then, I've just been incredibly passionate about patient care and optimizing the patient experience and hospital operations and all that kind of stuff.
No, that's great. I know that's kind of part of your story and how you got into healthcare and really a focus, one of the common threads, a lot on patient engagement. And that's a great early experience. I wish everyone had that same experience, Greg, that you just described. It is so critical. I used to do that as a leader as well in some pretty major health systems where it was a requirement that once a year you spent, everyone spent, including administrative assistants, spent one day with a clinician shadowing them. And it was a game changer. And so I've always done that wherever I've been and did that personally on a monthly basis just to keep it fresh. So we're talking the voice of the patient, patient engagement, and you know that comes along with things around digital transformation. So share with us a little bit about your perspective on digital transformation and just the patient engagement, how that all is intertwined.
Well, I have a lot of, I'm very vocal about this topic, Ed. Having, you know, a lot of personal experiences with my own healthcare, as well as, you know, family members, and my mom died of ovarian cancer after a 7-year battle, and coordinating her care was absolutely miserable from the care coordination side, which was left up to the patient or me as the patient advocate. So, you know, I think, you know, in today's world, right, we're all very comfortable firing up our phone and going to Amazon, finding a product, clicking on one button, and then having a box show up in your door the next day. That's our life, right? Or I can stand on a street corner anywhere in the world just about and hit a button and a car shows up, I jump in and I go to my destination, no cash ever changes hands, and it's all very seamless, very easy, very efficient, right? And when you think about the patient experience, given this very siloed and fractured nature of healthcare today, it's an incredibly cumbersome experience, and you know, we as consumers expect to have the Amazon, and it's an over-referenced thing, right? But expect to have the Amazon experience with healthcare. But I think, from a technology perspective, so much of the technology has been geared towards the providers, and kind of left the patient out of the mix. And so now I am, you know, working very hard to reimagine what the patient experience is all about and what that means.
No, that's super. And I know throughout your career, that has been a focus. Let's talk specifically on, you know, the bane of many experiences is the service desk, right? Mm-hmm. You call some number and you might get in a loop where it takes forever to ever hear a person. You may never hear a person and you want to hear a person. And talk about the transformation that's taking place or the potential to take place in that whole experience. Because oftentimes, you know, when we think about it, if you're a payer from a member experience point of view, or if you're on a patient on the provider side and you've got to call some number for scheduling an appointment, or you need help with your getting into your digital front door, whatever it might be. Let's talk a little bit about that. Almost like the first line sometimes, which is a service desk of some sort. How can you transform that? I mean, is there any hope what people or organizations can do?
Yeah, I think switching the paradigm is the key here, and just thinking different. You know, I just share a quick story with you. On Christmas Day 6 weeks ago, I spent 6 hours in the emergency department with 3 broken ribs from skiing. And when I got discharged by the ED doc, he said, you know, your primary care provider will be reaching out to you within the next 2 weeks to schedule a follow-up appointment. And I'm like, okay, great. Well, 3 weeks rolls around, didn't hear from anybody. So I figured, okay, I'm going to call the clinic where my doc is and schedule the appointment myself. So I do. I sat on hold for 4 to 3 minutes and didn't get anywhere. And I ultimately had to hang up because I had to go to another meeting. So I'm like, okay, what do I do now? So I fire up the mobile app and that's connected to the EHR, try to schedule it that way. The app breaks. I try it 4 times, doesn't work. So here I am 6 weeks later. I've never heard from my doc. I haven't had a follow-up appointment. Now, granted, I'm okay, right? It's broken ribs. It wasn't life-threatening. However, if my condition was severe and I really needed that follow-up appointment, the effect on patient outcomes of having to bail out of the loop of interaction, it can be disastrous, right? Economically, quality, all of that. So I think switching the paradigm from thinking about, you know, the call center is the focus, because when we, you know, the rest of our lives, we're used to interacting with businesses through many different channels, whether it be voice or chat or text or email. There's lots of different ways to communicate. And what happens today is you do get stuck on the phone and that phone tree and so on. without getting any resolution whatsoever, which has a massive impact on patient satisfaction and quality of care and so on. So I think it's a faction or a function of rethinking what an ideal patient experience really means. You know, people talk about the Disney experience. Well, it's that. Why can't we do that in healthcare? Why can't we? It's done in other industries. Let's change the paradigm.
Yeah, I like that. I know the personalization just with the Disney example, and this is a little bit old example, but still it's more impressive, the fact that this was 5 years ago. But you know, they came up with a magic band. And so the magic band has everything you need. It's one-stop shop. You know, whether you want to get something to eat, get on a ride, everything is there in your single band. So it's very simple. You don't carry cash, credit card, nothing. And the other thing is it personalizes the experience in terms of when we went on rides. I remember we were on It's a Small World After All, the iconic Disney ride. And we're looking, you know, all the music's going on and all the cute designs and entertainment. And we're looking and there's our names. And they knew that it was our youngest daughter's first Disney experience. And they called her out. And I'm thinking to myself, man, this was worth the thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars I just spent was for that moment. They created this moment and they personalized things. And it was just amazing that they could do that. And of course, then they're getting all the data on the back end and helping them with, you know, their marketing and customer service. And for whatever reason, well, we know the reasons, we've lagged quite a bit. And it goes back to what you're saying, Greg. You probably had, I'm gonna guess, you probably had super high quality care with your ribs. I saw some of the story because we're Facebook friends, saw some of the story as it unfolded. You had the highest quality care, but what do you talk to people about? The bad customer experience, right, despite the great quality of care. And so it's really important that we get these front end pieces right. So we are talking today about the voice of the customer and reimagining the experience, the voice of the patient, and really talking about that one of those first points of contact. And I think one of the points you were making, Greg, is really key. So as I ask this next question, it's really about, hey, what are one or two things? So our audience is mostly digital leaders, could be chief digital officers. A lot of them probably work in the digital organization. And what are one or two things? And I'll start off with the first one that you already alluded to. What are one or two things they should be thinking about that maybe haven't thought about yet? And your recent experience at a very strong health system is poignant. So one is to be multi-channel. So you always have to accommodate, my belief anyways, you always need to accommodate that person that wants to hear a voice. So even if you don't want to hear a voice, look, I don't. I just want a chat bot. I want minimal friction, easy as possible at 1 a.m. in the morning or at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. And so I need that, but many people still need the voice. So multi-channel really was one of the things that you shared already. You need to be able to go multiple different ways. What are one or two other things as you think about reimagining that experience, and especially from a service desk, you know, front end, what should leaders be thinking about?
I think you hit on it a little bit, is the personalization aspect, right? That Disney experience where they know you. And, you know, presuming I was able to get through when I called to schedule an appointment with my primary care doc, I would expect the person on the other end of the, well, whoever picks up the phone to say, hi, Greg, are you calling about your appointment as a follow-up from your broken ribs? To which I'd say, yes. And it would be, that interaction would be seamless, it would be fast, it would be easy. Versus the way it is today. So I think personalization, you know, the EHR contains so much information about a person. Now, if you've never seen that person before, you still have information. And so I think knowing the person, not just the patient, knowing the person is vital to creating a better reimagined patient experience.
Yeah, you know, I think about an experience I had recently. So I'm always really trying to uplift healthcare. Part of my mission is how do we make this better? You know, the quality of care, the price points, the patient experience, the clinician experience. It's how do we leverage technology to enable superior clinical and business outcomes? That's been my mantra for, I don't know, 20 years. And I always say that healthcare is so far behind other industries, and I believe that's still true. However, I did run into a challenger to healthcare in the last week, and I want to tell you about it really quick because I think there's a lot of parallels. So I got this email from my mortgage lender to say, hey, easy, simple refi. Rates are really low, really simple to refi. And I thought, of course it's going to be simple to refi because they've known me for many, many years. I presumably I got that email because I'm a good risk for them. I pay our bills on time. And so I clicked yes. I went to refi, and I spoke with someone, and they quickly ascertained that, man, I could save, you know, a pretty significant chunk of change on a monthly basis by refiing, and they would roll in all the costs. It's no cost, right? It's like too good to be true. No cost to me, lower my monthly mortgage payment, and low hassle. So I started in this process, which I am still in, and they do not know me, Greg. They have my email. They do not know me. And I keep asking them, I said, don't you have that information from when I originally got the loan? Because nothing's changed. I'm still married. I'm still, you know, all the other things. And it is such a hassle. I've almost given up. The only reason I haven't given up is because, you know, it's going to save me a chunk of change every month. But if it weren't for that fact, I would have given up on them and gone to a new lender and just started from scratch, because that's what it feels like. It's a terrible experience. We don't want our patients to go through that same thing, yet they do.
They do.
And so you hit on something in your answer when we talked about personalization. It's really about customer relationship management, or CRM. So we weren't specifically talking about CRM, but it really fits in here. And so, are you saying that a sophisticated, you know, again, we go back to that first line of defense, or first line of offense, first line of patient care, which is, you know, picking up a phone, talking to someone, whether it's a service desk or whatnot, that they could know us, or they should know us? So So your example is really good. They should have been, Greg, we've been expecting your call.
Yeah. Can I give you another? Yeah. Anecdote. So the same healthcare provider happens with my payer as well. And a little while, you know, probably about 6 months ago, my son had to get some care, and I received the bill, and the bill just wasn't right. He didn't receive those services. So on the bill itself, it says, please, if you have any questions about your bill, please call this number. I said, great. So I call the number, get the payer. And after sitting on hold for 45 minutes, the person who picks up the phone said, well, if you have any questions about the actual bill, the actual items on the bill, you need to call the provider. And I said, wait a second, you are the provider. You are both the payer and the provider. And they said, no, sorry, you got to call the provider. So they called the provider and tried to go through, again, sat on hold for a long time, tried to resolve the issue with them, but wasn't able to because my son is over 18. And they weren't able to have any conversation with me about the bill. And I get, you know, I get where they're coming from a privacy perspective. However, I'm physically holding in my hands the bill with all the gory details of what was provided. Yet they still couldn't talk to me. And so it's these kinds of things that create such massive friction for people and patients out there and members that can be avoided through things like personalization, through integrated systems, and having the knowledge and the intelligence to be able to know, oh, you know, you're calling about this. Oh, and yes, I am the payer and the provider, and therefore I can resolve your issue the first time and do it quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me give you two positive examples that I experienced this week, and then we'll finish out about talking about some more practical things that we can all do, whether member services from the payer side or providers from the patient side. So my financial services firm is USAA, and they win all sorts of JD Powers awards for customer service. They're always like in the top three in the country in terms of customer service, but they know me. And so they're very personal. When I call, well, one, they recognize it's me already. And they're like, Captain Marks, because when I first, you know, a long time ago, I was in the military as captain. And And so, and then they just know me. It's a great experience, and there's easy transition. So even though they have silos, right, they have different insurance products and financial services products, the handoffs are seamless. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I have to reintroduce myself or revalidate myself. It's really seamless. And the airline is another example that I had this week where they had called me. They proactively reached out because there was a change in an upcoming flight. And before I finished, they were like, and what about Simran? So Simran's my wife. Of course they know my wife because she's in my profile and the tickets are together. And so they're like, and they went into detail about how, you know, we might want to make change for her, which was right on. And so that's the type of experience that I think we all want from healthcare. So I don't know that it's so much a tech challenge as sometimes it's a cultural challenge within that organization.
For sure. Yeah, and I think, in fact, I would say cultural change is probably it's the hardest, but it's probably the most significant in terms of being able to contribute to reimagining the patient experience.
Yeah. I know, you know, we can't get into detail, or we could, but I don't want to because these are all great organizations. So just speaking generically, but I know what happens inside both the payer organizations as well, especially the provider side, where there's a lot of silos and we're all really proud. There's a lot of chiefs or vice presidents, and they're all really proud of what they've developed and how they perceive the patient experience and patient engagement. And there's going to be another chief that has a different view and different software, different applications, different ways of doing things, different processes. And despite an uber focus on the patient experience and on patient care, man, it was a struggle that was never completed, you know, to think about the patient in a singular view, whether it was from a finance view, patient experience view, a digital view, a clinical view, a member services view, a claims view. And we're also proud of these processes and applications that we still forget or don't prioritize the patient or member experience high enough. So, you know, in terms of being practical, again, you know, for leaders is really to break the silos that exist within your own organization. That's another one. So Greg, not to put you on the spot, but we're going to try and come up with another thing that organizations should consider. So we talked about breaking the silos, the personalization, the multi-channel. Let's give them one other practical thing that they might be able to do to really bring about, enable the voice of the customer and the service desk and those sorts of challenges.
Two things come to mind. I think a while back you and I were talking, and basically we were talking about how a hospital is a conglomerate of clinical businesses. And that's the way, you know, healthcare has evolved. So creating a seamless experience for the patient is important, just like you described in your airline experience. It was seamless. Or your USAA experience, it was seamless. It was personalized and it was seamless. And so, you know, synchronizing and harmonizing all the interactions that a person or a patient may have with your organization will go a long way to improving the patient experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So Greg, this next, you know, we've got a couple minutes left. This next portion is really for you to share anything that you have on your mind and heart to our Digital Voices community and your perspectives.
So some of this is my own personality flaw. But, you know, I when people talk about, you know, thinking outside the box, my brain goes, box? What box? There's actually a box? There's no box. Think outside the box. It just doesn't exist, right? So I'd say, you know, I love Steve Jobs and I've read a lot of his material, and he's got some great quotes out there. And when he talks about, you know, go back to the early days of Apple, and Steve Jobs' mantra was to think different. And I think that's really how I think about everything in healthcare today, is think different. You know, break the status quo. I don't actually, that gets back to my other personality flaw, which I don't think there is a status quo or a box. So I think different and, you know, reach out, you know, come up with wacky ideas. Some of them are, a lot won't work, but some of them will, and it'll be revolutionary.
Yeah, that is super. You know, that we feel a compulsion when we, especially if you're new to an organization, to fit in. And I always called it the assimilation. So we assimilate, much like there was a Star Trek spinoff or something, and there was a community called the Borg. And the Borg, people got assimilated, became like the Borg. So you'd have these individuals that would get hired because they get hired because they were sort of outside the box thinkers. They had done great things at some other organization. So they're brought in, but the culture basically forces them to become assimilated in order to survive. And so if we can create cultures where we accept and encourage sort of that differentiation, and especially as we look at the whole customer journey, and again, you know, the front line, we've been focused a little bit on the service desk and things like that, I think it would really transform. We talk a lot about digital transformation. Well, I think what we're concluding is a lot of it, most of it is cultural, most of it's leadership. The tech is there. We just got to be bold in our actions and be creative to really make a difference.
You know, and I think about just from a leadership perspective, you know, we were talking about culture too. How do you, you know, rally the troops around new ideas and so on? And I often think about Martin Luther King in that, you know, if you go way back, you know, to, you know, let me put it this way. Here's a guy who's a Baptist minister who was able to get 250,000 people to join him on the mall in Washington, D.C. In the middle of August, when it's super hot and humid there, right? And it's, he didn't have his 12-page PowerPoint deck and plan and all that, but he had a dream, right? He believed in something. And what was the net effect? He changed the world forever.
Yeah.
And I think that, thinking about inspiration in those contexts, will lead to greatness, and thinking different is part of that, because that's what Martin Luther King did. He thought differently and changed the world.
Yeah. No, Greg, that's a great way to sum up our conversation today, talking about the voice of the customer, digital voices, and sort of that front end piece, that first line of offense and defense. And so if I were to summarize, I took a bunch of notes. If I were to summarize, you know, I think we gave out four or five key items, but if I were to just summarize by parking on two, one is to shadow, to be with the patients. So if you're, so even if you're on the supplier side, vendor side, you can volunteer at your local facility or talk to a client and about shadowing a clinician or seeing patients or helping out in some way, because it'll change your perspective, change your heart. And the second thing is really boldness in your individuality. Don't be assimilated. You have great ideas. You are wired that way. So let it come out, and it ultimately it'll be good for the patient. Greg, I look forward to our next run. So I need to get out to Utah for some skiing, or you over to Vail to Colorado for some skiing someday. Maybe we'll catch a run there. If not, it'll be as soon as we're able to meet up again at a HIMSS or at a CHIME, a professional organization event, and do some running and show the young kids how to run.
Exactly. Thanks for having me, Ed. This has been really fun.
All right. Thanks, everyone. It's great having you as part of Digital Voices. Look forward to chatting again.
Thank you for listening to Digital Voices Podcast with Ed Marks. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe on your preferred streaming service and leave a rating and review. And most importantly, thanks again for listening.